Have you ever had a situation in life where there was something big, there was something just overwhelming that was taking place in your life, and yet you were carrying it to the Lord in prayer, as you should, but yet there was just something inside of you that was saying, man, I just don't know. When it came down to whether or not God can handle it, it was just so big that there was just something in the back of your mind that was saying, man, I don't even know if God can handle something like this. Well, that's what we're going to take a look at today. We're actually going to look at faith that moves mountains out of the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Grab that Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that your week has gone well, and as you make it over the hump, you're looking forward to a great weekend and a great time to be in the house of the Lord, to serve Him, to draw close to Him, and to fellowship with other believers. A moment ago, I asked you a question about whether or not you've ever had something in your life that it seemed monumental. And deep inside your heart, you know, your belief says, I know that God is able. I know that God can handle this. But there was just something there that was saying, man, this is just so big. I don't even know if God can do this or if God will do this. So this is something we want to look at. Now, when we look at Mark's Gospel chapter 9, we find a very compelling account of Jesus who's casting out a demon from a boy. And in the midst of this particular text, we're going to see some highlights along the way. And a couple of the highlights that we're going to see is the highlight of the importance of faith and the highlight of the importance of prayer. So today we're going to take a look at this passage. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over with me to Mark's Gospel chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading at verse 14. That's Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. It says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often as he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for the time that you give us to be able to gather around your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us truly to clear our hearts and our minds, that we might truly hear from you. Help us to not be distracted by the things that are taking place or going around in our midst that may keep us from hearing your word today. Draw us close to you. Father, as always, I pray if there's one that does not know you, I pray today would be the day they would give their heart, their life to you, that they may look forward to eternal life in heaven. Now, Father, for these next few moments as your messenger, I pray that you would use me. Lord, lift me up that I might lift you up, that you truly might draw all men unto you. So bless, Father, the time that we have together today as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Yeah, as we get into this scripture text, it's always good to have a little bit of context, a little bit of the background about what's taking place within the passage to help us better understand it. Now, this passage occurs shortly after the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, where he was glorified in the presence of Peter, James, and John. And upon descending, they encountered pretty much a scene of chaos as they were coming back down. You know, there was this desperate father. You just kind of get this picture in your mind. There's this desperate father. There's a suffering child. And there's this crowd that is just kind of standing around to see what all is going to take place and to see what happens. They're gathered around there with the disciples. Now, the scribes are arguing with the disciples. And there's a crowd that's watching all this unfold. In other words, they're there to see what's going on. What is the drama that's taking place? So, you know, we learned that the father had brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus' disciples to be healed, but in the process, they were unable to cast out the demon. You got to remember, the disciples had done all kinds of work. They had cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Now, remember, as I say that, we always have to keep in mind that the power in which they were doing this was not their own power. It was in the name of Jesus that they were able to do these things. So the disciples were at a little bit of an impasse as well. They were kind of scratching their heads thinking, I don't know. I don't know what went wrong. You know, in other words, obviously something went awry. We've done this before, but for some odd reason, we couldn't do it this time. So there's this discussion that's going on between the disciples and the scribes, and there's this crowd that's sitting there attentively listening to see what's going to happen. Now, when Jesus arrives, he's met by the father of the possessed boy who is pleading him for help. Now, throughout these essentially these miracles that we've been talking about, we've often found times where there is somebody who is desperate. There is somebody who has no other choice. They're seeking Jesus. We know the text tells us that he's been this way for a long time. So here's a father who probably is thinking maybe this is his last hope to get some help for his son. So he is seeking Jesus. Well, then he finds the disciples of Jesus, who he most likely has probably heard about the fact that they have done miracles as well. But then once again, father's probably disappointed. You know, in other words, here we go again. Yeah, this didn't help. And yet Jesus shows up on the scene, and he begins to, the father begins to plead with Jesus to help the boy. Now, the boy is severely afflicted. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us often thrown to the ground, foaming at the mouth and becoming very rigid due to the demon possession. That's actually in verses 17 and 18 of our text that tell us that. but then what happens is, all of a sudden, Jesus, you know, I would probably call it disappointed. Jesus is kind of disappointed in the lack of faith, stating this. He makes a statement in verse 19. He says, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." That's actually verse 19 of our text. Now, the pivotal moment comes when Jesus makes this declaration in verse 23, and it says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, the father responds with a very heartfelt cry, and he says one of the scriptures in our text, but also one that we probably either heard somebody repeat or we've repeated it ourselves at times in our lives. The father cries out, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In other words, it's kind of like that situation of saying, "Lord, I know you can do this. I believe that you can heal my son." You know, it was a deacon that was a part of my life for many, many years before he moved away from this particular area. And he really summed this verse up in a great way, because it's almost like when you're praying and you're saying, "Lord, I know you can. I'm just asking if you will. Is it part of your will? Is it something that you will do? Is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. Is it in your will for this to happen or to take place right now?" I love how he explained that. "Lord, I know you can. The question is, will you?" And I believe that's a lot of what this father was feeling as well. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You see, as we started off our Bible study today, one of the questions I ask you, has there ever been that thing in your life that you really needed? I mean, you needed help. You're crying out to the Lord and you're like, I know that the Lord can do this, but there was just kind of that nagging thing on the other side where you're saying, but you know, I don't know if he really will. This may be too big for the Lord. As crazy as that sounds, we do that. As often as we get there, there's that little bit of itching lack of belief, you know, which kind of points out a weakness in our faith. Sometimes our faith gets to the point where we're like, you know, I'm just not real sure whether God can do this, okay? So when we look at the text, the primary lesson from this passage is the power of faith, all right? The disciples' failure highlights that scriptural authority and effectiveness are rooted in faith. That's something that Jesus underscores when he tells them down in verse 29, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, okay? So the Father's cry for help is a testament to the reality of doubt in the journey of faith, but it also shows that God honors even a mustard seed amount of faith. It's very interesting that we've read that passage before where it says, you know, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could ask a mountain to be moved and it will be moved. Now, I want to say to it, there are several caveats that go along with that. I think there are people who a lot of times will take that scripture out of context. They will take that to mean that, you know, if I ask something I want, then all these things are going to take place. Folks, you got to understand that this is something that needs to be the will of the Father. This is something that needs to honor and glorify Him or bring honor and glory to Him along the way. It's not about us. It's not about us, you know, having our personal genie in a lamp and we rub it and it comes out and gives us three wishes. That's not how God operates. But what he is talking about is, do we have faith enough in him to see what he can do? That goes completely against that little thing in the back of our mind that says, man, I know this is something monumental. I know this is something huge, but I still believe with all my heart that Jesus can do it. And sometimes that really transcends logic that we have. And there are times when we have to sit back and say, just like this father did, Lord, I believe. Yeah, help me with my unbelief. Lord, help me to grow and strengthen and stretch my faith that there's no doubt whatsoever. Now, Jesus demonstrates his authority in our text today by casting out the demon, signaling that faith in him can overcome the darkest and the most defiant spiritual forces in our lives. Now, folks, you got to remember that this is all being done. Now, Jesus is the one that did this. When the disciples were to do that, they were to do that in the name of Jesus, not their own power. In other words, they would be expressing that the power for all these things to happen, the power to heal, the power to cast out a demon, was because of the power of the Messiah, not because of the power that they had. Okay? That's critical. That's important. Man, there are so many sermons that could come just off of that because, you know, pride can become a major, major issue in somebody's life when they sit back thinking, oh, well, look what we've done. I like a passage over in one of the New Testament passages where Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. It says, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted through the abundance of the revelation. Now, what he was basically saying is, you know, I was given this infirmity so that I wouldn't be proud about the things that the Lord had let me see. Yeah, in other words, he wasn't going around going, hey, look, God, you know, look what God showed me. You know, well, let me tell you what he did. It's all right to brag on Jesus, but the problem is too many times we want to brag upon ourselves. So when we think about the context of what's going on in our scriptural text today, what does that mean to you and I? You know, we talk so many times about the fact that it's not just good enough to get the word in your head. It has to trickle down to your heart. It needs to become heart knowledge. So how do we apply what we're learning from today's scripture text to our lives, all right? This passage teaches us about the necessity of a life that is anchored in prayer and in faith. I have talked to so many preachers. I've talked to so many spiritual leaders over my time of being in ministry. And if you could ask them a question, particularly those guys that are a little bit older, they've been around for a while, and you'd say, well, listen, if there's something in your ministry that you would do different, what would you do different? I cannot tell you the number of times the answer to that question is, I would have prayed more. I would have been a better prayer warrior. Because in the midst of that, those things are the things that stretch our faith. Having faith that God can, that God is able, that God will do even those things that seem impossible to you and I. So in our daily lives, we often face situations that feel like they're insurmountable to each and every one of us. Now, whether those challenges may be spiritual, sometimes they're emotional, sometimes they're physical, the bottom line is this: the principle holds true. Faith. Faith grounded in God's power and nurtured through prayer can overcome any obstacles that will get in the way of us becoming what God wants us to come. Yeah, those are the things that will bring us the peace in life. That doesn't mean life is just going to be without its problems and without its issues, but we're going to have a peace in our heart and our lives as we go forward because the Lord is the one who has handled those. Yeah, the honesty of this father's plea reminds us to come before God with openness about our doubts. You know, sometimes we doubt. I mean, there have been times in my life when I'm like, Lord, you know, I know you can. My heart tells me you can. I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around it. Because, see, we want God to show us what the answer is all the way from A to Z. That's what we want. We want Him to lay out a plan for us. And God doesn't work that way. That's not how He functions. He gives us, little bits at a time. You know, He says to me, I love what He said in the Word to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham said, where? He said, I'll show you. I'll tell you. But we want God to line it all out before us. But you know what? There's something, I'll call it therapeutic, about being able to go to God and say, Lord, I believe you can handle this. Lord, I believe you can do this. Like this father in our text today, Lord, help me with my unbelief. I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around the how you're going to do it. Lord, I believe you can. I just help me with the doubts that I'm having. Because you know what? If we're honest, each and every one of us have had those doubts at somewhere along our spiritual journey that we have set back and kind of had that little struggle with inside us that says, Lord, I believe you. The Word tells me you can. I believe you can. Why is it that I'm struggling with this? You know what's one of the greatest things that you can do is be honest with God. Come before Him with openness, just like this father did, even concerning those doubts, all the while you're still seeking to deepen your trust in His ability to deliver you from the circumstance, the situation, to deliver that loved one or somebody or whatever the situation that you're praying for over. The Lord is able. Now, the disciples had this inability to cast out the demon. And that to them was a head scratcher. That was a problem. So as the disciples had this inability to cast out the demon, that serves as a call to deepen our spiritual disciplines with the Father. You know, remember in the midst of this was reminding us that there are some challenges that require persistent prayer as well as fasting. You know, when those disciples went to Him and said, hey, look, man, you know, I like it. It says they got Him off privately. And when they got off in private, you know, after Jesus had shown up and saved the day, as it were, cast out the demon, I'm sure the Father and the Son had gone away, the crowds had dispersed along the way. And then all of a sudden, those disciples were like, hey, man, I got a question to ask you. What was the story? Why couldn't we cast out this demon? You know, we've done it before. We've seen it. We're a little confused on this. And Jesus' answer to them was that some of these cases required prayer and fasting. They require a more persistent prayer and along with some of the spiritual disciplines, one such as fasting that He mentions in this particular passage. Okay, so faith is a bridge. Yeah, faith is that bridge that connects us to God's power. Now, in moments of crisis, or when we face these overwhelming circumstances, or when we face these overwhelming difficulties, you know, we should remember this father's prayer. You know, seeking help for our unbelief and trusting in Christ's sovereign power along the way. I don't know about you, but I can say that there are times in in my life and been times when I've gone to the Lord in prayer and I've had to confess to him, Lord, I'm bewildered. I love the fact that the word tells us that even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. You know, when we don't know what to say, there have been times that I've gone to the Lord and said, Father, I honestly don't know what to ask you for in this situation. Lord, I want to ask you to heal my brother or my sister. But Lord, I also realize that based on the situation, it's pretty, you know, insurmountable at this particular point. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't believe he couldn't do it, but it just means, Lord, I'm trying to wrestle with what is your will for this particular situation. Because I certainly don't want to pray or ask anything outside of the will of the Father. Because you know what? We can easily do that. We're pretty selfish people when we think about it. We want God to do his work our way. And that's not how he works. I know that there have probably been times that you've maybe offered a prayer and you've been disappointed because your prayer wasn't answered in the manner that you wanted it to be answered. That doesn't mean it wasn't answered. It means it wasn't answered the way you wanted it to. You know, I've often thought about that at times when I've asked and prayed and I've said, Lord, I'm asking you to touch and heal my brother. He's got this terminal illness. Terminal means exactly that, terminal. It means that there's nothing else that man can do. But Lord, those are times when you show up really big. So I believe that you can. So Lord, I'm asking you to heal my brother. And you know what happened? My brother wasn't healed. And in fact, that's kind of a trick answer. My brother wasn't healed the way I wanted him to be healed. You know, I wanted him to jump up out of that bed and walk out of that hospital and be good. Well, instead, he passed away. Now, I still remember asking God that time and saying, hey, look, you made promises in your word, and I came to you with all the faith in the world, and I asked you to heal my brother. And I can still remember the response that the Holy Spirit put in my heart. The response was, I did heal your brother. And I was sitting there going, no, you didn't heal him. He passed away. And he said, yeah, he passed away. Now he is in my presence. He's in a place where there's no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more cancer, no more anything. So I did heal him. I just didn't heal him in the way you wanted him to be healed. So I think that there are times when we need to understand that it needs to be done God's way. I always like to say it this way. We need to pray that God's will be done God's way, not that God's will be done our way. And we need to be spiritually intelligent enough to know the difference between those two. So what are you doing to stretch your faith? What are the things that are happening in your life? Now, obviously, you don't want to just sit back and say, Lord, I want you to give me some things in my life to stretch my faith. No, but look at the things that are happening in your life and see if they are things that can be faith builders for you. See if those are things that drive you to the Father. Let me ask you, how is your discipline in prayer? How's your discipline in fasting? A lot of times you don't hear that spoken of much in our day and age, but that's a spiritual discipline that the Bible taught us. You know, when you're giving up something, you know, that for yourself, that the Lord might be exalted. You know, are you doing those things? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord? I'm not sure exactly what they may be, but I pray that you will take this lesson from not only the Father, but also those that are around, from the disciples as well, and make them applicable to your life. You know, look at it, and even when we're confused, start to look at these things and say, you know, am I asking the right thing? I've said that when it comes down to prayer before. There was a couple of things I said, you know, when our prayers don't seem to be being answered, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, am I praying the right things, number one, okay? Am I right? Am I sitting here in a hypocritical, sin-filled condition asking God to do some things for me? Am I right? Is my prayer right? Am I right? Is the timing right? Is it God's timing? Sometimes, you know, it's not that God answered no. It's not that God answered yes. Sometimes that he's saying, wait, there's a reason. You need to be patient. You need to wait on what I'm going to do. And sometimes, well, listen, we're not patient people. I'll be the first one to confess to you. I am not a very patient person. And if you're like I am and most of the world, you would be honest enough to confess the same thing is true to you. We want it done right now. Sometimes we have to wait on God's timing. I hope and pray that there's been a time in your life when you've had to do that, where you've had to wait on God's timing. And then when you reassessed the situation after God showed up in an incredible way, you understood the reason why God didn't answer your prayer months or years before. but you can look and see now why there was the waiting. What, you know, and then you go, oh, okay, I get it. Well, that's phenomenal when you have that chance and that opportunity to do that. So that should lead us to trust the Lord even more with His will, His way, and His timing. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not going to be some tough cases along the way. And when you're sitting back going, Lord, why is it? Maybe you're going to be in the position of these disciples and you're like, Lord, well, I'm confused. This is a head scratcher. Why are you not showing up? And he says, you know what? Sometimes it takes a lot more prayer, and sometimes it takes fasting and other spiritual disciplines to get to that particular point. So I hope and pray that today you've learned some things that you can apply to your heart, that you can apply to your walk each and every day as you go out into the world. Into the world as a missionary, as I've said, to be able to serve Him. So let me have a word of prayer with you as we close our time today, and then I'm going to tell you what our readings for this week will be and what we're going to plan on looking at next week. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You today, we want to thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the fact that it guides us and that it instructs us. Father, I pray that You will help us to cultivate a faith that is unwavering, even in the face of doubt. And Lord, I pray that as we come to You, that we may rely on prayer and Your strength to overcome the challenges that we're going to face in our lives. So Lord, right now, I just pray that You would do some incredible things in a very, very incredible way for each and every one of us. And Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I mentioned just a moment ago, I'm going to let you know what we're going to be looking at, what our readings for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking in John chapter 21. I want you to spend some time in John chapter 21. And then next week, we are going to be looking at the 26th sermon in our Miracles of the Messiah. And this is going to be the miraculous catch of fish that comes out of John chapter 21, specifically verses 1 through 14. So I hope that you're going to be read up, studied up, prayed up, and ready to go when we meet next week for the Wednesday Bible study. So with that, I also want to mention that, as always, we want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, come visit us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. On the screen throughout, you'll see our website. If you didn't see it, it's www.oakridgecbc.org. You can find out all the information about us there. Our service time is 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through small groups. We have the Awana program for our children, and lots of ways that you can plug in. So if you show up, be sure to introduce yourself to me and say, hey, I saw you on the Wednesday Bible study, wanted to drop by and worship with y'all in spirit and in truth, and we will look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.